Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 84. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, I finally saw Avatar.
You saw it?
I did.
Did you see it in 3D?
I did. I saw it in 3D. I tried to see it in 3D IMAX, but being the fool that I am, I only got there 5 minutes before the show and it was sold out.
Yeah, that wasn't very smart.
No.
I've heard it's been sold out for days ahead, still for IMAX.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be that gung-ho about seeing it to buy tickets days in advance, but I did see it. Have you seen it?
No, it's like 4.5 hours long. I don't have that kind of time.
Dude, it's only 4 hours.
Oh, I stand corrected. Yeah,
you should really give it a shot. It was good.
Yeah?
I don't think it's great, but I think it's good. You know, technologically amazing.
Yeah.
3D, I can't imagine seeing it in regular 2D. 3D, you know, in 3D, those giant stretched out Smurfs really pop out at you.
Yeah, they're like
they all kind of look like a blue Zdeno Chara, all of them.
Yeah.
They're giant.
Is that good?
I don't know.
Sounds kind of good. Yeah,
it's a good movie. It's a good movie. I recommend it to all Dudes on Hockey listeners, although I'm sure most of you have already seen it, and some of you multiple times.
I'm waiting for Precious in 3D.
Dude, what? Dude, that is wrong.
What?
And funny on so many levels.
All right, we're just going to leave it there. Leave
How
it
about
there.
The Sharks, dude?
How about the Sharks, dude? They've won, what, 16 of 19? What's the record? I can't believe... It's unbelievable. They're just like a train chugging along. I wrote something on the blog. Their secondary scoring's come into fruition over the past week. Joe Heater and Patty scored only about 20% of the goals in the last few games. With even Dan Boyle being out, we see the Sharks kicking butt and taking names. Pavelski scoring. Ortmeier had two the other night. It's just these guys are on a huge tear.
I think some of the wins, when you look back to the beginning of the month, like the Edmonton win, the St. Louis win, the LA and the Phoenix win, like those were good wins. But really, it really started last week with the Calgary thumping.
Yeah, yeah.
And from then, you know, you could see a team take a real lull after beating the tar out of somebody like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just haven't stopped.
No.
I mean, they've won convincingly 4 games in a row, really winning a Buffalo game that, you know, at times they were outplayed.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, but not out hustled. And we certainly saw in the playoffs last year, you can outplay a team for the majority of the game, outshoot them, outhit them, and lose.
Right.
And the Sharks pulled that against the Sabres. Then they beat them soundly, dude.
Right. They managed to weather the storm, as it were, although that term's getting a little overused now. But they weathered the storm, had a couple opportunistic goals. Nabby came up huge, and then they just found a way to slowly put the game away. It was really...
That's what good teams do, and impressive. We haven't seen the Sharks do that much at all this year, as far as... I didn't really think it was ever in doubt. I mean, when it was 3-2, it was 4-2, and then they didn't stop. I mean, they kept kind of laying it on... I didn't feel like they turtled up. I mean, Buffalo kept coming.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Sharks, they found a way to close it out. It didn't get to 4-3. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like
I think we were kind of half expecting it would, because that seems to be the script with the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Not this week, dude. Not this week.
Yeah, you look at the stats, and really none of them come out in the Sharks' favor. They get outshot 40-24. They don't score on the power play. They give up their first power play goal against since what did I read? January 6th. They were in the 30s in terms of power play chances without giving up a goal.
Right.
And they were basically, even in the faceoff, something that the Sharks usually just crush people at. And they still win 3 goals against the leader of the division and you know, one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. So what can you say? It's
impressive.
A very impressive win, without a doubt. Dude, before we go on, I want to talk about something someone posted on our Facebook page, which you can find at dudesonhockey.com. There's a link on the right. Become a fan of ours on Facebook. I don't know what that gets you, but...
Respect?
You're a fan.
Another direct line communication to us?
Yet another reason to go to Facebook other than Farmville, basically. But someone had the bright idea of maybe having a dudes meet up at some point. for a game. Is this an idea that we want to embrace, dude?
I think absolutely. We've had the good fortune to meet a few people at the last couple of games. So we were thinking maybe not starting by doing it at a home game, because we know that not all the fans are able to get to the games and we might not be able to all be there at the same time. So we kind of were throwing around the idea of putting together a viewing party somewhere to watch a road game.
Yeah, I know, you know, Stanley's Bar and Grill at the Sharks Ice, which is 10th and Alma in San Jose, is a place where they show every home game, of course. It's a hockey bar.
Hockey bar.
It's a hockey bar. And maybe that's something we'll use that as the poll question this week, dude.
Good call.
We'll see if enough people are up for it, then we'll try to get a group together and we'll meet up at Stanley's for an away game and we can all have some adult or child beverages, as it were. Whichever works. And you know, have some fries or whatever.
Hot wings. Extra spicy.
Absolutely.
Dude, yeah. So we'll make it the poll question. You can just answer. There'll just be one answer. Would you be interested in attending a Dudes on Hockey viewing party for an away game?
It'll be yes or F off. That'll be the other answer. Right.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's very good, dude.
So that's what we'll do. That'll be this week. So
let me tell you what's on my mind.
Mm.
Okay. And I wrote a post about it this week. The breakup of Vlasic and Blake appears to be the best thing that's ever happened to them.
Yeah.
And I thought that Wings fan in Sharksland actually put it in a really funny way in the comment thread, where it's like breaking up the child from like the authoritative parent.
Yeah.
Because Vlasic really seems to be rejuvenated, and also the parent seems to be doing pretty well on his own too, dude.
Right. He's like, I don't have that anchor now that I've
What's up with that? Why are they playing so much better apart?
Well, it's only been a couple of games, dude, so let's not jump to conclusions quite yet. But it could just be there's little things that people do or that complement your style a little bit better. Who knows? You know, I don't quite get it. Who did Vlasic play with? Demers?
Yep.
And that seemed to work pretty well. Maybe it's more like it's a follow the leader kind of thing, you know? Blake's a little slow sometimes, so Vlasic is trying to, you know, trying to act like, be like Mike and be slow. But, and Demers jumps up in the rush and goes behind the goal line and tries to score. And Vlasic's like, okay, I can have a piece of that too. Who knows? Follow the leader? Eh, maybe, maybe not.
I think that it's allowing, they've been trying to push him to, you know, they're like, we want you to be a puck mover. Now we want you to be mean. Now we want you to be a puck mover. Now we want you to be mean.
Right.
No, and breaking him off from Blake just seemed to give him an identity as a puck mover, which is what we need. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked pretty darn good on the power play. He was aggressive. He was making plays with authority, which I think has been one of my biggest criticisms of Vlasic, is that he seems to be a little bit inconsistent as far as moving the puck forward. He almost looks guilty sometimes when he has, he's like, I feel bad for shooting.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And he threw 5 shots on the net against the Ducks. He got a goal. He was a +4 over these last 2 games.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about Rob Blake.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, you know, he now didn't have to feel like he was the last line of defense because he was playing with Douglas Murray.
Right.
So he activated from the point. He scored a goal on an assist from Heatley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he seemed to be a little bit more.
That was a really sweet goal, by the way. Yeah. It was from Joe, right? He just basically rushed to the net.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Put his stick on the ice, and then Joe did all the work and just hit his stick, basically. Just shot the puck at his stick, and it deflected over the goalie's shoulder. I mean, such a sweet, sweet goal. I mean, really, most of the credit goes to Thornton, but Blake was exactly in the right spot at the right time. His stick was exactly in the right position, so he certainly deserves credit, too. A lot of these guys, you see them, they don't necessarily have their puck on the ice. Well, maybe in the NHL they do, but certainly in my league, you try to give somebody a pass or something like that, and then, oh, they're waving their stick around trying to get it down the ice or in the right position. Blake knew exactly what the move was, and he did it to perfection.
So, you know, Vlasic's been playing for a while, like, you know, he's all puckered up, okay?
Yeah.
He hadn't scored a point since December 9th.
Eesh.
Okay? And now, all of a sudden, he looks like a free man.
Right.
So when Boyle comes back on Thursday, are they just going to put it back to the way it was?
Oh, man. I hope not. I hope not.
I hope not, too, but
what's your guess?
I think they will.
You think they will?
I think they will. And you know, that's why we're sitting here. We're not a coach in the National Hockey League, but boy, do I think that's going to be a mistake. you know, these, I would put Boyle with Vlasic and see what happens.
Yeah.
And leave Blake and Murray together. And, you know, they've sent Demers back again to...
But they'll bring him up again in time for Chicago.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to play Jay Leach.
Well, I think Pollock said in his blog, a little bird told him that we might see Demers back for Chicago, but...
Oh, well, maybe he'll be back, you know. I would prefer to see Demers out there, although you can't really knock Jay Leach. I don't really have anything bad to say about him, but I can't really say anything great about him either. He's been solid.
Yeah, yeah. He's been scoring chances.
Sure. He's been justifiably invisible, which I think a good sixth defenseman should be.
Right.
If you're noticing him a lot, then that means that bad things are happening.
Right. He's kind of like the refs. You don't want to see him.
No, you don't want to see him. You just want him to be making the easy, simple plays. But the Sharks, dude, if they can keep this up, the way they're playing right now.
Yeah.
They look like Stanley Cup contenders to me, and I know, you know, we're on the bandwagon, but listen, this is some of the best hockey I've seen out of this team, period. Even last year.
Right. Even last year.
It's good stuff.
All right. We got an email about Demers from David, who is a first-time emailer. The email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. He said he recently stumbled upon this incredibly entertaining podcast, and he's glad he did. Well, wait till you listen to a few episodes, David. It's a little early for that. He says he's in Southern Cal, though, and is surrounded by Kings and Ducks fans. So,
ouch.
Don't feel your pain exactly, because we're right here in the heart of the San Jose area. But I appreciate you stopping by, David. But his question is, what did you think of Demers playing against the Ducks? He logged a little over 20 minutes of ice time, made great defensive plays, confident with the puck, and wasn't afraid to contribute offensively. Pretty much everything Huskins isn't. Ouch. I understand the salary cap issue, but come on, he played great with Vlasic as well. He even went on to score a rare goal. So we talked about that a little bit. So, you know, is Demers finally... I can't tell if they're sending him up and down because they're still trying to send a bit of a message to this kid that he needs to change his game a little bit if he's going to become a regular NHL player, or they're just sending him down for the cap issues that we've specified in previous podcasts. Which do you think it is, dude?
I think it's the cap issues.
Now you think it's purely cap?
Well... I think it's been mostly purely cap the whole time.
Mostly purely?
Well, yeah. I think it's purely mostly cap. Okay?
Okay.
I would like to think if they had a choice between playing Leach and Demers, they would have Demers in there every night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly would make that choice. But it seems like right now they're saving room, so they have the option down the road to be able to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
And having Demers' salary off the books makes it a little bit easier on a daily basis for Wilson to be able to make a move if he feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with 4 days off, it didn't surprise me for him not to be here. But I don't think Demers is going to be back as long as Leach is healthy and capable and Boyle is okay.
It's Chicago, dude.
I'm telling you.
Beer at the game says Demers is playing.
Oh, man.
Beer at the Chicago
game. It's hard because I want him to play, but I don't think he's going to be there. Beer at the game.
Yeah.
Done.
Dude.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. It's on.
I will gladly buy you the beer. Yeah. I think he should be in there.
But... And I will gladly drink it.
And you will have to embarrassingly admit that I was right next week. Jay Leach, here you come.
All right. Well, David, I'm with Doug. I think I talked to Dan Rusinowski on the radio show earlier in the season, and that was, I think, right after he first got sent down. And I said, did he get sent down because of cap or because of play? And he said a little bit of both. Now I think it's only one and not the other. I think it's only because of cap. And they can't send Jay Leach down because then another team in the National Hockey League can pick Jay Leach up for half of the minimum NHL salary, which is what he's making.
Right.
You know, he is... not to put too fine a point on it, a salary cap diamond in the rough.
Sure.
Or
it ended up being a great acquisition, actually.
Yeah, I think so too.
Gives them depth.
So, and he's one of the young players that doesn't have to clear waivers, so there's that going for him. You know, Jamie McGinn obviously is another one, as we've seen him, you know, burn the frequent flyer miles. You know, his carbon footprint has got to be pretty bad this year since he's been on so many planes, but, you know, these young players can be sent back and forth without them being vulnerable to a waiver pickup. So I think you're right, dude. I think Demers would be on this team if the cap was willing, and if they had to field the best team They'd put Demers in, and that's why I think he's going to be up for Chicago, because they're going to want to field the best team against Chicago, which is the number two team in the Western Conference right now, right on our heels.
Amen to me buying you a Molson.
Amen to that. All right, dude. Speaking of D, we have an email from Tom from Mountain View.
Okay.
Saying, what do you think of Pavel Kabina? I realize you both think DW is not going to make any moves. However, would you like to see him trade for Kabina? He's big and has some offensive upside. He's won a cup with Dan Boyle in Tampa, don't forget, and should be available in Atlanta because Atlanta seems to be in trouble right now. Bob McKenzie says that Kovalchuk will definitely be on the move. He will definitely be traded. And, you know, Kabina could certainly be on the block as well. So what do you think of Kabina, dude?
Well, I need to preface it by saying I think there's zero chance that we get him because of purely the salary situation. Like we've been talking about, Kabina's making $5 million, I think.
That's correct.
And the Sharks just don't have the room. I mean, to get Kabina, we'd have to give them Ryan Clough and Ken Huskins, for example.
Right.
And there's zero chance I want to make that move. And I don't think that for a guy who is an unrestricted free agent, and the Sharks aren't, they're not in the position to make that sort of Brian Campbell, Bill Guerin, unrestricted free agent move by giving up big assets to make it happen.
Right.
But removing that, you know, would Kabina help this team? Probably. I mean, he probably would. But are you messing too much with the chemistry? You're bringing in a guy, he's going to expect top 4 minutes. That means you're sliding down probably Rob Blake to playing 14, 15 minutes. I don't think a big explosive move like this, especially the way the team's playing this last week, is in the cards.
Yeah, I'm the same way, Tom. I like Pavel Kabina, but I looked up his stats and things like that. I wasn't as impressed as I expected. Maybe because he's another K defenseman that used to play in Toronto, and I might get him mixed up with Thomas Kaberle. But Pavel Kabina, dude, can you say how many, what Tom Kabina's greatest point output has been in his career?
I'm going to go in the low 40s.
Yeah, 40 is the number. He's on pace for 42 this year. Maybe might improve it slightly, but 40 points isn't an amazing all-star output. He got 40 in 08-09, and he was 26th in the league, okay, in defensive points.
Right.
And he did 40 in 07-08, and he was 19th. That's been his highest. But remember, Craig Reve had 35 points that year for the Sharks.
Right.
So I'm not seeing a huge upgrade for Kabina here. I'd like to, you know, maybe I'm just high on Vlasic at the moment, and I'd like to see him try and do better offensively. And I like Demers so much. And because of the cap hit you mentioned, dude, we're going to have to do a two-for-one deal. We're going to have to trade two players to get one. That's not going to work under the cap. Plus, the guy's unrestricted in June or July.
Now,
and so this is a guy that we're probably not going to be able to re-sign because we have so many other expensive players to keep around.
Who sent us this email? Tom?
Tom from Mountain View.
Tom. Let me put it to you this way, but you can't answer me because you're not here.
He's not here.
So I'm talking to myself.
Okay.
Tom.
I'll pretend to be Tom. Hello, Governor.
That's Andy.
Oh, sorry. Tom.
Okay, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay, here. You be Tom and I'll be Doug.
Okay. Okay.
Tom.
Yes.
Let me. Tom's voice a little higher. Tom.
Yes.
Okay. Tom, what if I told you we couldn't get Pavel Kabina, but we could trade that Clough and Huskins for basically the same player, probably a little bit more output on the offensive side, Sheldon Surrey?
Yeah, I don't know, because I'm not really Tom.
Dude, isn't that kind of the same thing? And at least Surrey signed for two more years.
He signed for two more years, but he's hurt and he's older.
Sure.
I mean, both of these guys have some downside. Surrey's had, he had a bad concussion this year. You know, that's not good. He's had some shoulder issues in the past. He's certainly no spring chicken.
He wants to stay on the West Coast. Now, I got to say, yeah, it's a big gamble. You know, do you go Huskins and Clough for Surrey and you're now, like you said, two for one? I think we're deep enough to do something like that. You trade Clough, you could have McGinn come slide into his position. You know, but also you're looking at, I mean, you're basically removing two players, getting one for equal salary. So how does that work financially?
That's right. I don't know if people remember, but last year in some of the games, Calgary didn't actually field an entire team. They only had 17 skaters. They had, I think they didn't, you can dress 20 people and they didn't. You know, I'm not saying the Sharks would have to do that, but I'd have to look at the numbers more closely.
Right.
I like Soure better than Caberle in this instance. You know, having two big bombs at the point with Rob Blake would be pretty sweet to watch. Watching those guys just, you know, just get the cannon out all the time. That would be really fun. But I feel the same way. Even, you know, again, getting past the point that we think Doug Wilson's not going to make a trade move, I still don't like this move for the same reasons that I don't like Kubina. I like him as a player a little bit better, but for the same reasons, I don't like it.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there. You know, I wouldn't say that it's out of the cards for maybe Doug Wilson to pick up the phone and call Kubina's agent in July.
Right.
When, you know, the decision will be made. Is Blake coming back? I think we've both assumed since he got the captaincy that there was already a bit of a discussion that he was going to be around for at least another year.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say he's not. Or even if he is, you know, with the salary cap likely going down next year, a guy like Kubina, he's not going to get $5 million again.
No chance.
There's no chance.
No chance.
So he's going to get squeezed a little bit. You might be able to get a player like Pavel Kubina for $2.5 million. Now, would you be interested at that point in the offseason? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. But a big splash like this, oh God, unless the Sharks really want to completely shake up their roster, they go in the toilet in the next six games.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a ain't broke, don't fix it kind of situation, Tom.
Right now, it's not just not broke.
It's
running at its highest performance of the season.
That's right. But we appreciate your trade proposals because we always like to
I love it.
Mess with those. Speaking of bad English accents, we did get another email from Andy. So
from who?
From Andy Clark.
Oh,
our fan.
You mean in
the UK?
That bugger.
Dear God, we gotta stop. But anyway, dude, he wrote a really nice email. You know, illustrating his history with the Sharks, and I just want, you know, I have a couple of highlighted portions that I want to read to you. He did actually come over to the States when he was 19 in 1996. And it was Giants territory down there, and one of the guys is a big Giants fan, so he took me to see the Giants play the Pirates at Candlestick. They lost.
I know.
Dude, how did they lose to the Pirates?
Well, when was this?
96.
The Pirates were pretty good then.
The Pirates were ever... I thought the Pirates had been
terrible
since...
They used to have Bobby Bonilla and Barry Bonds, dude.
In 96, they did?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, probably not. Pirates were probably pretty bad.
Yeah, and they lost, dude.
Oh.
I just wanted to point that out because it's
not
funny.
Good.
It's funny to me.
Not good, Andy.
They lost
not good.
The Pirates. Anyway, so I'm skipping ahead. Anyway, Andy unfortunately has never seen the Sharks play live.
Oh, we got to change that.
But hopefully, Andy, if you're ever out here in the States, we can meet up and go to a Sharks game because that'll be awesome. But anyway, to the meat of Andy's email. What first-round playoff matches do you like the look of? The results of the past 3 to 4 weeks have made me less afraid of meeting any of the Kings, Coyotes, Stars, Flames, or Ducks, but tucked in the middle of them, the standings at the moment are the Red Wings. With the Red Wings' injuries concerns improving, I see them rising to at least sixth, but if not, we could be looking at, and I hate to see this, Sharks v. Detroit first round, or, as we are hoping for, Blackhawks versus Red Wings. What do you think, dude?
Well, let me run down the playoff matchups if it were to start right now as we're taping Tuesday night.
Let's see. Right now...
You think you know? I was surprised.
Who is it right now? Is it the... It's not the Ducks. The Ducks didn't move.
Ducks are out.
Ducks are out at the moment?
As of right now, they're out.
And the Wings are out?
Wings are in.
So it would be the Wings today.
Right now, we would be the 1. Wings would be the 8.
Yeah.
Okay, the 2 would be Chicago. They draw Nashville at the 7.
Oh,
okay?
God. That would be the worst.
It's going to get worse. Okay, the 3 would be Colorado, and they play LA. So that would be basically like, well, whatever. And then Vancouver's the 4, and Phoenix is the 5. So we, by far,
have the worst
first-round matchup.
Of any of the top 4.
Of any of those teams. But let me say this. The Wings are getting healthy. I can't imagine on what planet the Wings are going to be the 8.
Yeah.
They're just not going to be. Everything's too bunched up right now. The way things are lined up, dude, I think they're going to climb. They have a really good chance of climbing. See, they have 58 points and Vancouver has 66 and Phoenix has 63. They've got a great chance to climb all the way to the 4.
Yeah.
Okay. Or the 5. Okay. So for them to make it that high, for them to finish 8th, something's going to have to go seriously wrong.
Yeah,
I think we have a much higher probability of drawing a team like Nashville, drawing a team like Phoenix, and probably drawing LA. I think I've felt for a while, and I think maybe you do too, that, you know, it's got a, we got a pretty good shot of it being LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like our chances against LA. We've done pretty well against them lately, so that's not so bad. But Andy, the long and short of it is the Red Wings would be by far the worst matchup we could possibly imagine. I think I was reading, I was reading Puck Daddy today, and someone put in the quote, the Wings would be probably the hardest eighth seed ever, only edging out Anaheim from last year. So could you imagine? The Sharks draw Anaheim 1 year, which I definitely distinctly remember someone writing at the time last year, this is the toughest eighth seed in 30 years. And then we face the Red Wings as the 7 or 8 this year. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Perish the thought. I don't think it's going to happen, but yeah, the Wings would definitely be the worst. I'm going to have to say the Ducks number 2, just because of
past history.
Past history. I'd hate to see that.
I'm going to put the Kings at number 2 because,
really?
Yeah, I'm going to say the Kings just because I think they've proven that they can play with us. And this year, we have murdered the Ducks every single time.
That's true.
They've made a point. They're no match for us. They're not the same team they were last year. And, you know, given Bob Murray's history, I think they're going to continue to make huge changes at the deadline. And guys like Solani, Koivu, and Niedermeyer, they're probably not even going to be there anymore.
You think they're going to find a way to get rid of Jaguar?
They might try. You know, so they're going to be a different team.
Yeah. Okay, what about Coyotes, Stars, and Flames? How would you rank those, dude?
I would say least want to play the Flames out of those three, and would most want to play the Coyotes, I think.
Really? I might go opposite.
Really?
Because Breezy can get hot. Breezy could be the next Cam Ward.
Same with Kipper. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Kipper could steal a series, and I think Flames have a better level of talent. Whereas, you know, when it comes down to it, Phoenix reminds me of Columbus last year, where when they get into the playoffs, they're just going to be over their head.
Yeah, they're just going to be so happy about
They're just not going to be able to match the overall. They can't match the Sharks if they're playing. Sharks are playing three lines deep and rolling in all cylinders. They're not going to be able to hang in there.
I hope no one will be able to hang in there with any of them.
I felt more confident this last week than I've felt all year.
I mean, the Calgary game, we talked last week how I was so happy that they scored 3 goals in each period. They didn't take their foot off the gas. But I got to tell you, it was almost even more heartening to see them beat Buffalo the way they did, because Buffalo is a much more talented team. They're faster. They have better goaltending, at least for the moment. Certainly you can't say their D is on the same level as Calgary right now, but still they can beat, they're very, very dangerous. And, you know, we don't see a lot of Buffalo playing in the West. And although we're going to play Buffalo again in Buffalo in a couple of, is it after the Olympic break or before?
It's right before. It's like one game before the Olympic break. The Sharks have a wicked schedule going into the break. They have Detroit at home, and then they go on a 6-game road trip to finish, going to St. Louis, Nashville, Toronto, Columbus, Detroit, and Buffalo.
Right.
It's pretty rough.
That's pretty tough.
And if they, I really hope that they can keep the foot on the gas, like you said, dude, and go in really strong to the break.
Right. Well, the Sharks are always on the road in early February because there's a big tennis tournament at the Tank.
That's
the
right.
SAP Open, dude.
That's so right, dude.
My dad's
I will be there.
Fan. You're going to go?
My wife has seen the anthem before the Pete Sampras exhibition.
Dude, she's like automatic now.
Well,
she's the go-to.
Yeah, well, you know, they always ask me and I'm not available.
Good thing.
No, oh. Oh. You've heard me sing on the show, dude. It's not bad.
A little bit? Little taste? Mm-hmm.
Let me warm up.
Okay. La, 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 la. Okay, I think we're done.
Me.
All right. Does that mean another shark song is in our near future, dude?
She takes my money and I'm in need. Man, she's a gold digger and I'm in need.
Why are you singing that song of all songs?
Oh, she's a gold digger. Oh, yeah.
Wow. That was something. Watching American Idol lately, dude? Anyway, I think we're at the end of this podcast. I don't think there's anything more to do other than sing poorly. So I think we've both accomplished that. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We appreciate all your emails and contact through the Facebook page. We'll be certainly back again next week. Same time, same place.
Hey, the party in the USA.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.